The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
It's been a wonderful month, right? And August will even be better. August will be better. So we are starting our fast tomorrow, the 1st of August. And so the teaching I'm going to bring this evening is not just supposed to help you this weekend, but supposed to help your Christian life generally. I'm bringing an admonition on prayer and fasting. Amen. An admonition, just a very short one. Short one, because what I mean by short, I mean there will not be part two or part three. Just a very simple admonition on prayer and fasting. Amen. And it's important we are looking at this because one thing I always want to achieve, and I've been talking about this for some time, is that you come to a point in your life where you are doing things not just because everybody is doing it, but because you can provide an answer from God's word for what you are doing. I gave an example about people who do certain things. Ladies that, I was talking about the last week, ladies that put on trousers. And you ask them, why do you put on trousers? You're a believer. And they say, well, I tend to say that we are wrong. That's not the point. The point you are saying is, give a scriptural backup to what you're doing. And it will shock you to know that many Christians are doing things and they don't even know why they do what they do. And that's why there is no conviction. That's why they cannot last in what they're doing. No, they cannot last. Because where there is no deep conviction that is birthed from knowledge, you know, where you have knowledge about what you're doing, you see, you're going to, anything can shake you. Anything can shake you. So that lady that puts on trousers, who doesn't have any reason for wearing the trouser, who just wears it because she likes it, any man of God can come up and bamboozle her with scriptures and she will put it off tomorrow. She will stop wearing. And that man of God can come up 2 weeks after and bamboozle her again, she will put it on again. So you notice that kind of inconsistency comes from a place of ignorance. So one of the things I like to tell people to do is anything you are doing as a believer, we have a manual. Every answer you need is in this Bible. So check it and find why should I do this and what is the right way to do it? Why do you come to church, for instance? Many Christians don't go to church every Sunday. And the reason is because they don't even know why they should come to church. They just grew up and met their parents going to church every Sunday. And they just tagged along. So when they got into school or became independent, they didn't think this is why they should continue. So anytime they feel their clothes is dirty, they wouldn't go. Anytime they feel they are so tired, they'll sit back at home. Because there is actually no reason. They don't have any reason why they're going to church. So he wakes up on Sunday morning. He just puts on his radio and begins to play Mesichimu. Jesus, you know, that's what we do on Sunday morning. We play a Christian song and it just gives them a good vibe and they think it's okay for today. They don't even know why they should be in church. They think it's about feeling, having good vibes on Sunday morning. Are you following what I'm saying? I was on Facebook some time ago and I saw about a 1 minute video or something where someone was explaining something. And he explained something. What he explained was correct, actually. So someone came and commented, and it happened that video, by the time I was seeing it, was 3 days after, but it was posted on a Sunday morning. So one of the comments was, guy, if you've listened to this, you don't need to go to church this morning. You've had the word of God this morning. And it made me laugh. So why do we go to church? People don't even know. They don't even know. I heard someone say, well, you go to church to serve God. Is that totally correct? You don't go to church to serve God. You can serve God in church. But you don't go to church to serve God. I think I've explained that to you many times. Yeah, you don't go to church. Not if some people come to church to serve God, not everybody. For instance, if you're an usher this evening, you've been serving as an usher, you are serving God. But as now that you're listening to me, you're not serving God. God is actually serving you. I get what I'm talking about. And so it's actually, we need answers. That's why there are teachings we do. I have a teaching on churching rights. Some people say, how to church? Why do you even go to church in the first place? Why should I show up on Sunday? The Bible tells us that early church, that they were meeting every day. Why? Some people think they go to church so that they can have their needs met.
So whenever there is a big problem, they go to church. That's their, they think that's why they go to church. Now, the early church, they went to church every day. Did they have problems? So you see some Nigerians, they travel abroad, they stop going to church. You know why? They actually did not know why they should even go in the first place. And so that's why there is need to provide answers. Like what I'm going to do this evening about fasting. You will see that many people are fasting. They don't even know why they should fast. They don't even know what to do when they fast. They don't even know why fasting is necessary. And some of you will be shocked at how far we've gone into error on some of these concepts. So, for instance, one of the reasons we come to church is what I'm doing now. For the renewing of the mind. And that renewing of the mind is with the Word of God. That's why if you come to church, if you go to a church where they just shout, you've not gone to a church. You've not gone to church. You're just going to play. Your mind was renewed with the Word of God. The Bible calls the church, 1 Timothy 3 verse 15, it refers to the church as the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a place where the truth of God is emphasized, where it is established. So that's why I've taught you many times, the most consistent and the longest activity that must go on in a church must be the teaching of the Word of God. So you see what I'm talking about, people being taught. Someone comes to church tomorrow and then pastor starts teaching and teaches for 1 hour. He gets angry. He says, I'm not coming back to that church. He says, why? People teach for too long. So why were you going? What were you coming to do? Are you following what I'm saying? If you understand church, it's just like you go to school and then after lecture, you say, I can't go to that school again. The lectures are too long. Why did you come to school? Are you following me? What is the purpose you come to church? It's to hear the Word of God. So you should actually get angry if the Word of God is too short. And not the other way around. So you see some churches, we've missed the point. Some churches opening prayer, they just pray for like 5 minutes or so, and then we start doing a lot of other jamborees, a lot of frivolities. We can dance, we can do drama, we can do comedy, we can do many things, just have fun. And then when it's time to pray, we say, we really don't have time. We just say a few things. After 15 minutes, you say you are blessed. No, you are not blessed. You are disadvantaged to have watched in that church that day. You should be leaving church feeling like you've been overfed by the Word of God. That's what it should be. Amen. Glory to God. So what if it's just a prayer meeting? Do you know, if you attend a proper prayer meeting, you will go home, not only have you prayed, you must have learned the Word of God. Do you know, I've said this many times, do you know when we read Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, those two chapters, the majority of those two chapters is actually Paul's prayer that we are studying. He began to pray from verse 17, 18, 19, 22, 23. He was praying. And now we are studying his prayer. So when you pray as you should pray, your prayer should be filled with God's word. If you go to chapter 3 from verse 1, that go to Ephesians 3. It's open with prayer. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the position of giving to me and all of that, verse 3, how that but he kept talking and he got to verse 14. Remember, he opened verse 1, he opened by saying, for this cause. So he was explaining that for this cause. From verse 1 to verse 13. Which cause? He explained this from verse 13. And now came back to verse 14 and now repeated, for this cause. That's for this cause he mentioned in verse 1. He said, for this cause I bow my knees. So what he did from verse 1 to verse 13 was telling them why he prays for them. He now went from verse 14 down, telling them what he prays for them. Do you follow what I'm saying? He gave them why I pray for you, then what the content of my prayer for you. So if you read from here, that God will grant you according to the riches of his glory, you go down, he kept talking about his prayer. So we study Paul's prayer, and we are blessed. Are you following me, friends? And so the word, church should be made up of God's word and prayer. So when you come to church and you've not been taught the word of God, you should actually be angry. You should be angry. One of the reasons why, you know, let me not say what I want to say. But you know, there was a time I was traveling very far to worship with a church just because the message was rich. Very rich. It's like, man, I'm going to be going here. And when I wanted to start a church, I said, God, well, if I'm going to do this, I have to feed the people well. I remember buying one tape one day when I was a younger Christian, and that tape blessed me. It's not like now you download. We used to buy those days. You don't buy VCD messages.
So I bought a VCD tape and listening to it. Ah, and it blessed me so much. And when the guy finished preaching, somebody came up for the announcement. And for the first time, it dawned on me that this powerful teaching like this happened on a regular Sunday morning in this church. So I just imagined being in a church where this kind of quality word is delivered on Sunday and on Thursday. And sadly, it was happening where I was worshiping then, actually. Amen. So that I told myself, well, I have to really be fed. Amen. There are some churches that enjoy quality teaching on special meetings. So that people can say, ah, service day was, man. Did you see the fire? That fire is what you should see every day in church. Are you following me? That fire, that power, that word, that prayer should happen every day in church. So that you know what you're expecting from church. Some go to church and they get angry that they were not fed. Food, I mean. Say, that church, they're not serious. When there was nothing like first time mass package, people don't give rice to your church. And the guy is angry. So the first question I want to ask is, why do you even go to church in the first place? Why didn't you go to a restaurant? If you were that hungry, why did you go to a restaurant? Why didn't you go to just anywhere? Why are you expecting food from church? Does it make sense? Do you go to class and get home and come home, you're angry? Why are you angry? They didn't even give us Indomie today. So if you don't expect food from school, why are you expecting food from church? Because you don't even know why we do the things we do. Are you following me, friends? So what I would like to show you is what fasting is from God's word. First of all, I would like you to see that fasting is seen, or you can see the practice of fasting, don't miss what I'm going to say, all over scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You will see fasting being practiced. I'll take you through some scriptures. In Joshua 7 verse 6, they went to fight and they lost the battle. The Bible never said they didn't use the word fasting, but the Bible said Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. So they fell before the Lord, ark of the Lord, and they stayed there from morning till evening. That can be said to be fasting. Right? We can say they fasted. In Judges chapter 20 and verse 26, I'll just show you some scriptures before I start explaining. Judges 20 and verse 26, Bible said, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings, you know, before the Lord. You notice they fasted. So in Joshua, they fasted. In Judges, they fasted. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6, we read about David. 1 Samuel 7, verse 6. Okay, not David now. The Bible said that they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. So they fasted in 1 Samuel. In 2 Samuel 12, 16, we read about David. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 16, David fasted. You know, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. So David fasted. If we go further in the Old Testament, Esther chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, we read about how Esther asked, not only did she fast, she asked the whole of Israel to join her in a fast, including her maids. So Esther fasted, her maids fasted, the whole of Israel fasted. Then we go over to the New Testament, right? We get to the book of Acts, for instance. In Acts 13, verse 1, the Bible tells us that certain prophets and teachers were at Antioch. He mentioned their names. And in verse 2, it tells us why they were there. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they fasted in Acts 13. They fasted in Acts 13. In Acts 14, verse 23, you also learn that they fasted when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. They commanded them to the Lord, commended them rather to the Lord on whom they believed. So you find out that there is fasting from Old to New Testament. I'll still show you more, even in the epistles. Now, what you learned this, what first thing you are learning is that fasting is something that has been practiced and we should practice. Because there is this extreme teaching where people say, why are we fasting in the New Testament? You know, Jesus has done everything for us. So when you hear Jesus has done everything, what Jesus did for us is that he paid for our sins. He didn't fast for us. Are you following the point? So there is fasting. And anything you see practiced from Genesis or from the law down to the epistles, you should pay attention to that thing. Are you following me? Fasting was practiced under the law. Fasting was practiced by the prophets. Fasting was practiced even when Jesus was on earth. We're going to look at that very shortly. It was also practiced by the apostles. So because it was it's something that has that we see constantly being practiced, we should practice it. However, it's good for us to note something. That even though, that means what I'm going to say, even though fasting was practiced from the old to the new, Moses, for instance, only instituted one fast. There was only one fast that Moses instituted as an ordinance for Israel. And you find that in Leviticus 23 and verse 27. Leviticus 23 and verse 27. Bible said, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to the Lord, and ye shall afflict your soul. What it means by afflict your souls there, was talking about fasting. It feels like Amplified Classic. It says, you shall afflict yourselves by fasting in penitence and only. So that's a fast that Moses established to be carried out on the day of atonement every year. That was the only time. It's also interesting to know that Jesus never instituted any fast. As a matter of fact, Jesus never instructed us to fast in the Bible. Now, remember where I started from? They fasted. Are you following me? But Jesus never instructed. In fact, on an occasion, they met Jesus and they were questioning him as to why his disciples were not fasting. I get to the point. Why are they not fasting? And he gave them an interesting answer. He told them that the bridegroom is with them. They don't need to fast. Are you following what I'm saying? So he never actually instituted any fast. Or say you must fast on so-so day. There was actually no teaching. Another place Jesus mentioned fasting, even though that one is very, very debatable, because people are arguing about it, was when he was, casting out devil. When the disciples wanted to cast out devils. Do you remember this? And they couldn't cast out the devil. And Jesus came and intervened. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this devil out? And Jesus told them, because of your unbelief. And now told them, however, this kind goeth not out. Get that scripture for me. This kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. Amen. So, this is the verse. Give me NLT of this verse. Is this NLT? Huh? Of verse 21. Is this verse 21? Okay. Verse what? Go back to King James, please. I want us to have full in one house. Because I want to show you something. What is verse 21 say? Read with me. Now put up verse 21, New Living Translation. Read now. You could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move nothing. Next verse. Did you see prayer and fasting? Many translations didn't actually record that statement because they believe it was not there. Are you following me? Some did. Give me like another translation. This, go to verse 21. Verse 21. Go to verse 21. This kind does not go out as by prayer and fasting. Okay, another translation. Okay. This Message Bible, it didn't also mention the prayer and the fasting. He just said because of your unbelief. Are you following me? So there's a lot of arguments on whether it was. But I'm not here for the argument, okay? If you believe it's there, it's fine. However, I want to also note that what Jesus was addressing in this place, he didn't tell them that this kind of demon does not go out except a prayer. In fact, that's what he was saying. You already gave them an answer why they couldn't cast out that devil. What was the reason? Because of your unbelief. He answered, however, this kind. So what prayer we deal with in that place is unbelief in the heart of man and not actually demons. There is no, because this is actually where people get all those ideologies where they say you must get pray and fast to this level before you can be able to cast out some kind of demons. There's nothing like that. The name of Jesus handles every devil at whatever level, whatever capacity. Amen. So there's a lot of argument about this verse, and I'm not going to get into that argument today. I have what I believe, actually, about this verse, but then it's okay to believe what you want to believe. So, Jesus never actually instructed any fast. He never actually instructed. There were a lot of instructions from Jesus on why the apostles should pray. But there was no instruction.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.